You know, the Brock Agency has been around for over 40 years, advertising and marketing. And boy, you talk about an industry that has changed a lot over the last 40 years. Last time we talked to the CEO, Matt Powell, he was in some old line headquarter digs, and now they're in something that I think kind of reflects the new nature of marketing and advertising. He joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So you guys have moved over by the levees, sort of over by the Trinity River, right?
Yes, we're in the design district, and it was a pretty conscious choice for us to, one, you know, reinvent our workspace, but also find a place that kind of represented, you know, it's on an upswing and there's a lot of interesting things happening in it. Yeah. And we thought it reflected just kind of the trajectory we were on.
Well, and talk about the trajectory of your business. I haven't been there, but I was reading about it, and there are all these breakout rooms and Zoom rooms and video screens, and that's really what's happened to this business since Tom founded this over 40 years ago. I mean, this was all, it was all radio and television, I guess print media and flyers, right? And sampling. None of that stuff anymore, right? Well, I got a little radio, obviously.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it certainly has changed. And I've had the pleasure of being a part of the story for 23 years. And even in that time period, it's drastically changed. So, you know, we're reinventing our product for our clients. We're also, you know, reinventing how we work together to deliver that product, too. So that was a lot of the catalyst for why the switch.
But it seems like everything is oriented towards social media right now. But I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's because I'm old. But my sense is there is a saturation point, and that there may be time for some sort of new evolution, or maybe back the way it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. One of the debates that we have is brands have moved to what we would call lower funnel marketing, and this idea of
narrowcasting.
Meaning like search and channels like that, where you can really guarantee the outcome that you're for the investment that you're putting into it. And we're arguing that some of the brands have kind of lost the ability to just create awareness about the brand in and of itself, tell the customer what you do. So I think to your point, there is some, you know, we tend to run to what's shiny, but there's always a balance, I think, that needs to happen within the advertising world.
But, you know, I talked to some startups and some small businesses, and some of them tell me, oh, we don't need the outside help. We have a person here part-time, and they put us on FaceTime or TikTok or something like that. And that's the way we grow. That's the way we market.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, that's always existed to some degree, and we often find that with a lot of our clients, they get to a point where that outside help is needed. So, you know, I think that there's always going to be a need for leveling up in sophistication and as the business scales and grows. So, yeah.
But you guys have always had a really eclectic client base. I mean, I'm looking right now, Six Flags to Hobby Lobby to FedEx. McDonald's is a major player, and Dart and little company Atlanta Wines. What's the common thread there?
Yeah. So our common thread really from the very beginning is that we help brands that are multi-location, and we help them scale. And, you know, that doesn't really define a specific industry or category. That can be anywhere. So, you know, our two biggest clients today, McDonald's and Planet Fitness, there's not a lot of similarities between the two, other than the fact that they're the largest within their particular category and reaching the most people in the most locations.
So do you approach them in the same way? Do you use the same, you know, the same media, the same general approach?
I think there's a lot of themes in terms of how to get to today's consumer. But there's obviously, I would say the difference is the what we call KPIs or what we're measured on. So, you know, in McDonald's, it's traffic into the restaurants and sales. With Planet Fitness, it's joins, how many people have joined. And so the metrics look different, but a lot of the roadmap to get there it feels very similar.
So what about the approach? What works now? I think I remember we talked several years ago, and I was conjuring back up who was Vance Packard and the Hidden Persuaders. And they sort of took the approach of telling people what they wanted rather than finding out what people want and then giving it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that every client has its own kind of story with them. You know, what we've seen this year across the board, you know, all that under 100K income level has really struggled economically this year. I mean, that's pretty well documented. And so you're seeing a lot of brands return back to price, which isn't something that brands have focused on over the last few years. They were raising prices. Now it's how quickly can we lower them to get consumers back into the into whatever the business.
So there used to be, couponing and cents off and that sort of thing. Are we going back to that?
I think it's more deal type stuff, so an advertised deal or promotion. I mean, just all brands, you know, ours as well as competition, were taking price, rightly so, as their cost increases grew. But they've kind of gotten to a point where we pushed the consumer a bit too far, and so I think the smart ones are finding ways to get them back in.
So the last time we spoke, we were sort of tiptoeing out of COVID, but now, I mean,
Yes.
we're full boat out. And so as you
Right.
look back to life before COVID, yeah, how did yours change? I mean, how did the marketing and advertising and promotion, how did that change?
Yeah, I mean, I could give you a list of 100 things. I would say probably, you know, the most fun aspect of it, as painful as it's been, is that brands realize that just tweaking the playbook year after year isn't necessarily going to be effective. There was a point, you know, 2 or 3 years into COVID that we recognized we weren't getting back to 2019. That wasn't ever coming back. And so they started writing new playbooks, and that was challenging for anybody, but also exciting at the same time. And you know, the new playbook looks very different brand by brand, and then obviously relevant to even just our office move.
I like it.
Oh,
Give
go
me an
ahead.
example. Give me an example of the changes before and after.
Yeah, well, I would say a big one that really played to our strengths is the fact that a lot of brands really pre-COVID kind of looked at just their brand from a 30,000 foot level down. They weren't necessarily thinking about the brand from what we would say the ground up. And we feel like that was a pretty missed opportunity. And then COVID kind of forced that. So if you think we had some businesses where California was completely shut down and Texas was up and thriving. And so you can't just have one marketing plan for all of the US in that case. And that really plays to our strengths because we inherently believe whether COVID's involved or not, the business should be thinking about the street fight and, you know, on the local markets around their locations, just as much as they think about the brand.
So the same thing doesn't work everywhere. And
Correct.
McDonald's being a major client of
Yep.
yours, that would be true with them. Do they use the
Absolutely.
they use the, they don't use the same promotion in every market now?
So it's a combination of there's some things that are going to work for everybody, and then there's some things that are very nuanced and local. And that's always been the case with them. And I think the smart brands, you know, outside of that, outside of McDonald's, think that way as well.
So where do you get people? I mean, your business, everybody thinks, well, yeah, it's innovative and come up with new stuff. But a lot of your business is people business. They have to relate to
Yeah.
your clients and understand and be likable. And that's an interesting balance. That's not
Yes.
just the average person you can drag off the street, I wouldn't think.
That is true. Although my former CEO used to tell people, tell clients that they fed me once, and I just kept coming back, which was always made me laugh. But no, I mean, it's interesting. So, you know, in the COVID environment, we'd always been an agency that a third of our employee base was not in the DFW market. But what's interesting is we kind of grew that a little bit more. In this, because of trying to find the right talent. And so suddenly, talent isn't just about DFW, it's about anywhere the talent is. Now, we have to have a balance of that because obviously we have a lot of clients based here and they want to see the people they're working with and all of that. But it enabled us to kind of cast the net a lot wider.
So you have a lot of, or you have a fair number of national clients. I mean, Hobby Lobby and FedEx, McDonald's,
Right.
certainly. But is it difficult to break into other markets? Are you that, I mean, after 40 years, I guess you're fairly well known.
Yeah, it's always interesting because, you know, certainly we get opportunities that are DFW based because we're here and they want that. Also, just because of our expertise, I think there will be brands that find us across the U.S., and that always has existed. We do also have some major flags in markets like Houston and Denver, where we've got teams and offices. So those end up being critical strategic points for us, too.
So your new headquarters, did you build it big enough for everybody to, is it, I mean, you never build a church just for the Easter crowd, they always tell me.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's funny. So we actually, it's 50% of the square footage that we had in our old building, and it's the same size workforce. And really, it was intentional in the sense that we don't expect everybody in really at any given time. We have a good flow and rhythm with our people. And, you know, if they're in, you know, 2 to 3 days a week, then we kind of plan out a schedule that works against that. So what we wanted really was more of an environment, a creative environment, where when people are in, there's a why to why they're in and how they're working together. So ironically, the office space is half the size, but it feels twice as big.
Why less people in there? But I mean, that's an interesting acknowledgement rather than trying to force everybody back into the old conformity. All right, one last thing. Have you got something exciting that you're working on right now? Maybe a new client, new idea, new promotion?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tricky because the NDA world that we live in now is fun, but. You know, this is an interesting stretch for us, and a big part of what we're also doing is actually taking care of our brand, the Mrock brand, just like we take care of a client's brand. And so we've been working pretty hard on just our external positioning, how we go to market, and those are things that are going to be over the next month be rolling out. So I'm actually excited that we treated ourselves as a client, because, you know, the old adage around it's the cobbler's shoes that never get mended. So we've been taking care of ourselves. And in the midst of that, you know, I think just, you know, in the economic year that we've been having, how do we make sure brands are really ready to go attack 2025? So that's a lot of our focus right now, too.
Well, it'd be fun to see what you come up with. Matt Powell, CEO of Mrock. And it's good to spend some time with you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
For more
of our
conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.